All right, good day. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. This is a lesson on the supremacy of God. This is part of a continuing series for our men's fellowship on Saturdays here at the church. And I'm just getting around to recording these programs for the podcast. I hope they are an encouragement, a blessing, and a challenge to you spiritually, doctrinally, and practically, as we seek to gain more understanding of the God that we love and adore and worship and serve. You know, we need to be challenged to go deeper in our understanding of God, because that will translate to a deeper walk, a more meaningful service, and a better outlook on life and eternity. May our hope be anchored to Christ, who is that sure anchor, both sure and steadfast, as the scriptures state in Hebrews. We're going to talk about the supremacy of God this morning. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11. We had gone through this a while back, when we had preached through this chapter. We're in chapter 4 now in Ephesians in our series. Great chapter, actually great book. But chapter 1 and chapter 2 are excellent books to really dive into the foundation for our spiritual life, salvation, and so forth. Verse number 11 will tie into our lesson today on the supremacy of God. And it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him," that is to say God, "who worketh all things," not some, "all things after the counsel of His own will." Of His own will. It's interesting how Pink opens this section on the supremacy of God with a quote from Luther in a letter to Erasmus, in which he said, "Your thoughts of God are too human." An interesting quote. Your thoughts of God are too human. Rather than elevate ourselves in our thinking to God, we bring God down to our level. We reduce Him down to human level. And we will never grow greater in our understanding of God than our knowledge of God and our approach to Him. So diving in, getting in deep, and learning what we can about God, even the challenging things, the supremacy of God in all things. He is over all things. He's sovereign. He is in control. God is in control. We say that often. God is in control. And then when we start talking about the sovereignty of God, we start pushing back. And then, wait a minute. Now, you know, there's a whole free will thing and this and that. But is He sovereign or not? And so when we come back to this lesson today, we'll be challenged maybe in some areas. But Pink goes on to say that we just don't think high enough of God and who He is. And that's really what we need to challenge ourselves to do. Not be lazy, not be complacent, not be influenced by the spirit of this world, but to be influenced by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, and then take our thinking of God and elevate it. I think we get into trouble because we don't think high enough of God and who He is. We have to be careful not to approach God as though He is one of us. And we tend to do that because we are children of God. We're adopted into the family of God. So we have this very unique relationship with Him. But we have to remember that He is higher and more noble than anyone or anything in His creation. Psalm 50, verse 21 says this, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." God, "these things hast thou done, and I kept silence, that thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself." And we have to be careful not to think that God, well, He's just like me. God and I, we're on good terms. God will reprove you, and He will set things in order before your eyes. So they have reduced God to man's way of thinking. And, you know, that God operates on a sentiment rather than principle. And I think that's a lot of what we see today in our culture. God is a principled being We see that outlined in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And so he's not going to change because somebody's having an emotional meltdown. You need to repent. You need to be born again. There is no way into heaven apart from that. God is in control. He is overall. Yeah, but that doesn't seem fair, Pastor Tim. Well, life isn't fair. That's what my dad always said to me. Son, life isn't fair. Just get over it. So you have to really kind of shoulder up to this and submit to what the Bible says concerning the sovereignty or the supremacy of God, and not to restrict it. And people, again, get too nervous about what they think a thing should be, or what they think God should or shouldn't do, or should and shouldn't say, or who he should and shouldn't save. And so reducing all of that down to the bare facts as to what the Bible actually says about God and submitting to that. Pink says this, and I quote, "The God of this 20th century no more resembles the supreme sovereign of Holy Writ that does the dim flickering of a candle the glory of the midday sun, the God who is now talked about in the average pulpit, spoken of in the ordinary Sunday school, mentioned in much of the religious literature of the day, and preached in most of the so-called Bible conferences, is the figment of human imagination, an invention of mushy sentimentality," end quote. This is the human response to the God of the Bible. We need to get away from that. We need to recognize the supremacy of God and what it calls for. It calls for a response. Not indifference, not complacency, not laziness. It calls for a response of reverence, of worship, and of submission. Proverbs 9, verse number 10 states, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Acknowledging God's supremacy leads to a life orientated around his will and purposes, characterized by humility and obedience. Again, knowledge of God leads to a fruitful life that is pleasing to God. So we see the supremacy of God in a number of areas. Number one, the distance that separates us from him. The infinite distance that separates us from him and from his creation in general. He is the divine potter. He is the one who shapes and molds according to his will. God does as he pleases, not according to every whim and fancy of man. There's way too much going on in the church today that is done according to the whim and fancies of man and not according to the word of God. And too many excuses are made to justify some of the foolishness and godlessness that has taken place in many modern churches. Just because you have a particular proclivity towards a particular sin doesn't mean that you can come to the Bible and change it to fit your particular lust or sin. Just because you think a woman has the same rights as a man does not give you the right to wrest the scriptures and justify becoming a pastor. God has not called women to be pastors of local New Testament churches, and that is clear in the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. It does not give you the right to justify sin. And we see that a lot today. You know, there's this arguing against repentance and against sanctification and against holiness to justify sin. We submit to the word of God. God says you need to repent. You need to separate from that stuff, not argue with him about it. So the second thing that we see, the scriptures speak of the supremacy of God. And they show his universal and absolute supremacy over all his creation. There is no, people argue about the sovereignty of God or God's supremacy over all, and they just can't help themselves. They got to insert themselves into it and say, well, wait a minute now, what about man's will? And as I've said before, and I'll repeat it again, man has a will that acts according to his nature. He can only act within the framework of his nature. Hence, the reason why ye must be born again. And I know some people are going to get sick of hearing that, but until it's embedded in your minds, in your hearts, that nature needs to change. A person that is unregenerate cannot do anything that is pleasing to God. You must be born again. That's scripture. So 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 and 12 say this: Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Our God, the God that we adore, the God that we praise, the God that we serve, the God that we worship, is above all and over all, and none can withstand him. We see, thirdly, that he stands alone. He is of one mind. Who can turn him? Job 23, verse 13. What God decrees comes to pass, and no purpose of his can be changed or thwarted. We can rest and find comfort knowing that God's purpose for you and I, those that have been redeemed, those that are saved, those that are predestined to the adoption of children, predestined to, you know, a life of peace and joy and happiness in glory with the Son of God. God has purposed or called you to something, and that is his purpose. He will fulfill all that he has for you and for his glory, not for our own. And then, of course, as we look at the prophetic picture, what's going to happen here on earth when he comes again in judgment and wrath on the wicked and so forth. So he stands alone. No one's going to change his mind on these things. We are going to, you know, be faced with the reality of submitting to his will. Then fourthly, we see that he is supreme over his works. In countless times we see in scripture, God working within his creation, but going against the natural order of nature. For example, the parting of the Red Sea would be a good example of this. Balaam's ass, the earth opening its mouth, the sun standing still, the iron did swim, the taming of the lions, you know, with Daniel, the ravings feeding Elijah, and there are many other examples. Christ's miraculous healings went totally against all that was known in medicine of the day, you know, healing the blind and the crippled and even the lepers just with a touch, going totally against nature. Christ on the Sea of Galilee and you know, the storm that, you know, brewed up, and Christ, peace be still, and everything points to God. Everything points to his supremacy over all things. And then we see, lastly, his working all things after the counsel of his own will. In Ephesians 1:11, which I read to you when I began this, he's not consulting his creatures, or he's not consulting man. He's not conforming to their views. He has his own purpose, his own will, and it is always proper and it is always right. We're not to suppose that this is by mere will or it's arbitrary, or that he determines anything without good reason. The meaning is that his purpose is determined by what he views to be right and without consulting us. He can do that without consulting me. I'm a flawed man. What can I contribute to God's infinite counsel and wisdom and knowledge? Nothing. I can't contribute anything. He knows all things and he knows them all perfectly. And so he's not going to conform to our views just because we're having an emotional meltdown about something or we disagree with something. There's some challenging things that we read in the Bible. But God is over all. He is all wise, all knowing, all gracious. And he has a purpose in mind, and that purpose will be fulfilled. And so there are things that we are incapable of understanding. We don't understand the reason behind God's actions. And Deuteronomy talks about this, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but those things which are revealed. And that's really where we need to put our focus. As far as the sovereignty of God is concerned, there is great comfort in knowing that God is over all, that God is in control. And we see aspects of God's control throughout the scriptures and the outcome, you know, in each of those occasions where we see God manifest his power and his control, his might over his creation in the different contexts that he did it. He is never going to do anything that will cast a blight on his character at all, because he does all things perfectly. And as a child of God, we can fall under that umbrella and be secure in our knowledge of him, knowledge of his will, and take the element of faith and apply that and be comforted knowing that all things are going to work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. All right, take care and have a good day.